Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hand off. Damian Williams trying to get to the edge. Breaks a tackle. 35, 30. Damian Williams, 20. Stays in bounds. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Kansas City. Damian Williams runs to immortality and will be remembered forever in the Chiefs kingdom. Garoppolo down 11. Second and 10 at his own 25. Takes the snap. Here comes Suggs on the rush. They throw it deep middle, and the pass will be intercepted. It's intercepted. Kansas City, you've got a champion. Kendall Fuller seals the deal, and the Honey Badger takes a victory lap. The snap. He is just going to throw it long for DeMarcus Robinson. It is going to use up all the time. The game is over, and the Chiefs kingdom has firmly planted its flag on top of football's highest summit. The Kansas City Chiefs are champions of Super Bowl 54. Final score, Kansas City 31, San Francisco 20.
And with us, the radio voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtis. Mitch, Steve Summers here on The Fan in New York City. Thanks for a couple of minutes of your time.
Steve, great to be with you tonight. Yeah, you can keep playing those all night long if you want. They never get old. It's like great wine. They get better with age.
Let me ask, we heard Damian Williams, and, You know, Damian Williams decided to opt out, and that leads us, I mean, he was certainly your feature running back. He scored, what was it, two touchdowns in the fourth quarter in that Super Bowl as the Chiefs came back all postseason long, winning in dramatic fashion. And really, no surprise, everyone did think they were good enough to win the Super Bowl, and they did for Andy Reid, finally getting Andy and his gang over the hump. We were kind of teasing you coming on a little bit with the advertisement that you were going to be with us to maybe talk about the one weakness that the Kansas City Chiefs have and how Le'Veon Bell, of all people, might be able to take care of that weakness.
Well, first of all, with Damian opting out, I mean, Damian runs a 4.37 and is 225 pounds. Now, the Chiefs are excited about their rookie running back they took in the first round, Clyde Edwards-Helaire,
right,
who was awesome last year in the LSU National Championship run. But he's been good as well for Kansas City at 138 yards to open the season against Houston, but he's 205 pounds. I mean, you're talking about a, you know, upper middleweight boxer and a heavyweight boxer. Le'Veon Bell, and I know it's been a challenging subject there with the Jets in Gotham, but honestly, he'll bring 225 to 227 pounds of running back to the Chiefs. He'll be in a rotation. He also helps because the Chiefs have been chopped up on the offensive line. We had Lou Reed of HRDF opt out. He's a doctor, actually, in Canada. We had a Lucas Niang, a rookie, opted out. We've lost Kelechi Osemele, the left guard, for the season. So Bell actually helps in regard to pass protection, the short passing game, the screen game. So hoping that Le'Veon Bell will kind of fit in a last piece or two of the puzzle for this 2020 Chiefs team.
And again, you mentioned, of course, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and of course that 138 yards with week number one, very first game of the season. But he's tailed off since. Is it because of the offensive line? Is it because of him? Is it a combination of the two?
I think the Chiefs have also faced some pretty good defenses. New England did a real good job against them, switching things up with Belichick, normally what he does. The Raiders just came in here. They were full of venom. Mm-hmm. And they're sick of losing to the Chiefs. They've been dominated for the last 5 years, and they were healthy. Jonathan Abram and others, Cleland Furl, it was the manifestation of their Khalil Mack trade, the first manifestation of it, in my opinion. So they faced good defenses. That's one. Two, the offensive line injuries, and they've struggled a bit. That's two. They've been kind of spying on Clyde Edwards-Helaire and putting pressure on Patrick Mahomes. He's had a struggle to get into a rhythm here in the last couple of weeks. So I think Bell, you know, Andy has always loved to rotate backs. He has ever since he's been here in 8 years, and he did a lot in Philadelphia, as you guys know. So, I mean, Bell just becomes a piece. He's a part of a rotation, and hopefully, you know, he doesn't have to be the 2016 Le'Veon Bell. He just has to be the 2020 Le'Veon Bell on this team and in this offense.
Well, I know that the Chiefs are right in the middle of the pack rushing the football. And when you think of their offense and all the weapons that Mahomes has, basically it isn't so much the running game, unless you're talking about him. You know, whether it's a play designed for him or whether it's a broken play in which he so often makes something spectacular out of a broken play with his legs. What is surprising to me is that the Chiefs, well, we're only five games into the season, but taking from what you just had to say, with one rushing touchdown, for Kansas City, that seems almost too hard to believe. And that one rushing touchdown came in week number one with Helaire, and we all saw him on that 27-yard touchdown run. And only one rushing touchdown, hard to believe.
Yeah, Mahomes has one, but from a running back, yeah, that's it
right
for him. And so, and there's, if you look at the third and one conversion chart, from the NFL, I think of the top 35 players, the Chiefs don't have anybody on there. So short yardage becomes key, and that's where Le'Veon Bell comes into play again. I mean, when he's at his top of his game, he's so patient, picks a hole. I mean, he dominated the Chiefs when he was with the Steelers and just completely controlled a divisional playoff game in the 2016 season at Arrowhead Stadium. Again, he does not have to be a 150-yard rusher on this team, and I think that's what helps him. Is you just become a, you know, a key part. And if that means converting third and three, third and two, third and one, second and one, fourth and one out of a, you know, large package two back set, and you got 225 pounds flying into the pile instead of 205, because Edwards-Helaire is more of a scat back type. So again, there's a, I think there's a place for Le'Veon, a great place in this offense.
Yeah, you're talking about with short yardage. You mentioned with Mahomes does have a rushing touchdown. He actually has two of them.
Yeah, right.
And then Tyreek Hill has one rushing touchdown, and of course he's a wide receiver. But from the running back position, hard to believe, really, that the Chiefs, even though it's only five games into the season, still with only one rushing touchdown. Now, you've had fourth and one a couple of times, again, going back to the short yardage. You've had a couple of times fourth and one, and you used your fullback one time, I think. Then you used Darwin Thompson, a backup, on the other fourth and one, and didn't make either of these fourth and ones using the fullback and one of the backup running backs. So, obviously, you are hoping, and the Chiefs are hoping, that Bell can stay healthy. Number one, he's not the same, and I think you probably realize that from his glory days with the Steelers. Well, we didn't see him enough with Adam Gase, who nobody respects. No Jet fan, no football fan living in New York City. Totally misused and missing in action half the time. We didn't even know if he was on the team more times than not. And really a mistake an accident waiting to happen. They signed him for a lot of money. Now, he's got 1 year with you guys, correct?
Right. It's a one-year deal.
And with the heavy into incentives, correct?
Right. And it's, you know, at the least for him, it's a chance to play on a Super Bowl contender. The Chiefs have a shot at winning it again, as most everybody would agree, in New York City.
Yeah.
But it's also a chance for him to apprentice, to actually audition for, you know, everybody else in the league to say he's still got something to help a team win.
Right.
And if he looks like he's got enough juice to help this team in the roles that we've talked about, you know, he could receive, you know, an extension. You know, the thing is, too, this locker room, I would tell you, is the best locker room. This is my 27th year in the league. It by far is the best locker room I've ever been around. Mm-hmm. And so will he fit? I mean, does he fit in this locker room? And if he does, there's a lot of alpha dogs on this team. The Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, Frank Clark. Mahomes is a terrific leader, even though he's only 25 years old. Travis Kelce. You got a lot of strong personalities in that locker room. So hopefully he'll fit and like it and thrive. Just like Terrell Suggs did last year, the Chiefs picked him up. In November, mm-hmm. They picked up in October a couple of guys, including mm-hmm. Mike Pinnell, mm-hmm. Who had been back in that part of the country some, and that changed the team. I mean, it was just enough to push him over the edge and give him some extra juice to win the title. And so hopefully Le'Veon Bell fits that role here for this team.
Yeah. Well, he does too. And again, as soon as he became a free agent Wednesday at 4 o'clock, here come the Chiefs. Do you know, and we're talking with Mitch Holtis, he's the radio voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. We understand, and maybe you know a little bit more about it than we do, that there were a couple of teams in which Bell had choices, and Miami was one of them, the Buffalo Bills, and you're playing them Monday night. They were one of them. And Kansas City, do you happen to know, did Bell and his people call Kansas City, or did Kansas City call him?
I can't answer that. I don't know. Okay. I just know that once it got rolling, I think Buffalo, even though Coach McDermott had acknowledged that they were interested, it looked like it became a two-team sweepstakes in the last 24 to 30 hours between Kansas City and Miami. But I am not certain who made the initial call. If Le'Veon's mm-hmm. folks called Brett Veach, the Chiefs general manager, if it's the other way around.
Okay. So the Chiefs, if they do have a weakness, it is with short yardage, goal to goal, down there at the goal line. And so maybe Bell, if he comes close to what he did in Pittsburgh, we never got to see him catch a pass. I can't remember him catching a pass out of the backfield with the two fancy years he was with the New York Jets, as I say, a disaster from the get-go. And Adam Gase, as you probably know, Mitch, Adam Gase didn't want him on the team and let everybody know about it. And it got to the point where, of course, Le'Veon Bell didn't want to be around Adam Gase. Not too many players do from Adam Gase's days in Miami and certainly with the New York Jets, and they look worse than their 0-5 record. But if Kansas City had a weakness, and you have articulated this pretty well with the goal line, with short yardage, for how long did Kansas City have these fantastic running backs who kind of petered out at the very end of their season and at the end of, how they ended their careers with the Kansas City Chiefs? I'm talking about Jamaal Charles, Spencer Ware, Kareem Hunt. Of course, he's out of there altogether. LeSean McCoy was benched. What happened with Jamaal Charles and Spencer Ware, to name two, who just really were not as effective as when we first saw them?
I think it's almost on a case by case basis. With Jamaal, he was reaching the end and had a lot of injuries. The same with Spencer Ware. He was one of the toughest backs I've ever been around, but it just, the injuries started to mount up. In the case of LeSean McCoy, it's a question of how much shade he has got. He helped them win a game early on to get it to a 4-0 start, but then he had some struggles fumbling the ball. Andy Reid likes to use a bevy of running backs. That's why it's not going to be. Now, the exception would have been Kareem Hunt in 2017 when he had, you know, led the National Football League in rushing and was just, you know, had a monster year. But even then, he was rotating with two other running backs. So, it has to be in a rhythm the way Andy uses them. And he usually likes to have a blend of speed and power. You heard the Damian Williams run to seal basically Super Bowl 54, mm-hmm. but Darrell Williams is still on this team, and he kind of fits a role of, you know, he's kind of a journeyman guy that and a spot-type player. But I think on each one of those backs that you mentioned, it was a combination of age in some instances, of injuries. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they improved the position. They brought in a better player. And so it's just a variety of things. But this is an offense, and I think Bell fits it too, because this is also an offense that loves to use screens. Andy's got 4,000 screens. And teams watch Kansas City to see all of the different screens that they run. That fits Le'Veon's game. The other thing is he's a very willing pass protector. And don't be surprised that at some point you see, Steve, that you see both Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Bell in there at the same time. And he uses a lot of imagination with this offense. Mm-hmm. And don't think it's one, just that's an apple-for-apple substitution. They might both be out there on the same sequence of plays, and one being a receiver and a blocker or vice versa.
Let me ask you a hypothetical, because if you're offensive coordinator, and Andy Reid, we know, you know, certainly a terrific offensive-minded head coach. There's no question about that. How about your offensive coordinator? Do you think, and this is hypothetical, you can give your thought on this, would Eric Bieniemy become the head coach of the New York Jets if Adam Gase was to lose his job?
Well, hypothetically speaking, I mean, it's your question. Mm-hmm. Hypothetically, I don't want to, you know, cast mm-hmm. aspersions on Coach Gase.
Sure.
But we already have jobs that are open. Houston's open, as you know. Atlanta's open. And I think that there's going to be some stiff competition to get Eric Bieniemy. EB's going to get a job, and he deserves a job. He's a great leader. He really sets an edge tempo to the organization. He's helped that here. But here's going to be here's the discussion that goes beyond my interview. Mm-hmm. And what's worked in Kansas City is when Andy Reid, let me just give you a long answer here. When Andy Reid was convinced to come to Kansas City, keep in mind mm-hmm. that was December the 31st, 2012. And if I'm not mistaken, either 7 or 8 coaches were fired that day. The Chiefs were at the bottom of the ocean. I said they were phytoplankton. I mean, they were down at the bottom of the bay and bottom of the Hudson River, if you will.
Yeah.
And Andy Reid, within a week and a half, was able to start to transform this entire franchise. And it's been 8 years of winning here. Their worst record's 9-7. If they win the division this year, it'll be 5 straight years of winning the AFC West.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's only part of the story. The other part of the story is Andy Reid, and it was stiff competition to get him.
Mm-hmm.
Because of those 8 teams that fired coaches, 7 seemingly wanted Andy Reid. It's kind of like the Eric Bieniemy situation. But here became the discriminating factor. Andy Reid knew that there had to be a flow of communication top to bottom, side to side, and that the Chiefs actually this is an underrated story.
Mm-hmm.
It's an underdone story that the Chiefs switched their way of doing business completely from what they had done for basically 50 years when they hired Andy Reid. Andy became on a parallel line with general manager then John Dorsey, President Mark Donovan, each with direct reports to Clark Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, the general manager of the team was had his own spot that was between those coaches, presidents, and others, between he and the Hunt family, the ownership family. So Eric Bieniemy, I'm going to tell you this straight up, because Eric was interviewed a lot last year as well. And he and I had some chats. He is going to look at the organization. There has to be a strong flow and commitment from ownership and a level of cooperation with the general manager where you're not surprised on personnel moves, and the personnel department's not surprised by something done in the coaching staff. It all works together to create this one flow. And that's why the Chiefs have won and changed their entire organization now, closing in on a decade. So if that's the Jets, then that box is going to have to be checked for Eric Bieniemy, because he's going to pick his job. He's not desperate to take a job. If he takes a job, it'll be the job he wants, and knows he's going to get what he wants.
Well, you know, I mean, we would all love to see him here in New York. We would love to see him coaching the New York Jets. It would be such an upgrade over Adam Gase. And, Mitch, you don't know the half of it, or maybe you do. The organization, the ownership from right on down. And it seems that every single Jets player who could help the Jets win a game is out of town, whether it's Le'Veon Bell, whether it's Jamal Adams, whether it's Robbie Anderson flourishing, having some good fun moments in Carolina. It just seems, and again, listen, this is one of the most famous theories in 2020 is, as you can guess, the conspiracy theory. We know the players don't tank, but I really wonder, Mitch, whether or not the Jets organization is tanking. And if you connect the dots with Anderson and with Adams and now with Le'Veon Bell, who was so, he wasn't even used, not necessarily misused, wasn't used at all, hardly. It seemed like, where is he? Oh, he's over there on the sidelines. He just didn't make a difference, wasn't given a chance. Adam Gase, not the creative, inventive play caller, and certainly not endearing himself to his players. And that was the case with him in Miami. That's the same here in New York, where a couple of players have complained about how lax practices are, and it shows up on Sunday afternoon. Yeah, I'll say this about Le'Veon Bell. He has got to be thrilled, and we did read his tweet. He's obviously thrilled, and who wouldn't be, going from the basement right to the penthouse?
Well, if there's hope in this discussion for the Jets, is that you don't have to go back to the very far ancient days of 2008 to 2012. And for most of that time, you just described the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. 2-2-14 seasons. In 2012, the Chiefs were so bad they did not win an AFC game. The only time in the 61-year history of the franchise that didn't happen. They won two games, and one of those games they never led until the end. It was bleak. And it changed. It changed in a week. When Andy Reid was hired, he brought all these people wanted to be with Andy. Players want to be with Andy. They want to be in this system. Coaches want to be in this system. And it's, you know, Matt Nagy's going to have a chance to win in Chicago. Just watch. Doug Peterson already won a Super Bowl championship. They're all coming out. I mean, there's a fourth of the league are Andy disciples. Mm-hmm. So there's hope. With the right decisions being made by a franchise, you can get it turned around pretty quickly. And in the AFC East now, the big bad wolf's not there anymore. Now, this group we play Monday is really good. And that young quarterback, Allen, is really good for them. But it's not Tom Brady sitting there staring down at the other three teams going, you have no hope, and we'll win the division for 17 out of 20 years. So that division's open, and the Jets have hope making the right decisions that you can get this turn and turn quickly. The first year Andy was in Kansas City, after that 2-14 dreadful season, including a player that had, you know, shot and killed his girlfriend and then took his own life on the front steps of the practice facility. Like, it doesn't get any worse than that. And Andy changed everything. The Chiefs started 9-0 the next season with basically the same roster. So,
well, I understand. I understand. No,
if you make the right moves, you can do it.
Yes, well, with the Jets, that's maybe another story. Listen to Mitch, before I let you go, when does Bell play? I understand he has to go through a number of testing with the COVID-19, with all of that. Does he have to go through 6 straight days of negative testing before he's cleared to play? Is that what you hear?
I'm hearing something like that, yes. And you know, the NFL just put down some new strict protocol. Mm-hmm. They're not far from where you're sitting, and they're putting the hammer down, so to speak, on, you know, there's a lot that's gone on with the COVID testing. Yeah. But the Chiefs will go, they will overdo it before they underdo it. They were the first to have their IDER, the Infectious Disease Emergency Response Plan, accepted. They've become the Chiefs again, have become the prototype for not just the NFL, for other professional franchises. A guy named Rick Burkholder, who came with Andy Reid and helped change the cultures in charge of all that, and they won't hurry it. So hopefully he would be ready for the Denver game a week from Sunday. But if they think it's going to be the Jets game, ironically, the following week, that may be when he opens up.
Of course.
So they may go beyond the NFL protocol.
Yeah. All right. Well, week number eight, the Jets, and of course the Kansas City Chiefs. And last year had to be so much a good human interest story. Andy Reid finally getting over the hump. Never mind about losing all the playoff games at home at Arrowhead, but he finally won the big one. And a lot of people, not even Chiefs fans, were happy for Andy Reid. Mitch, I can't thank you enough for a couple minutes, a good half hour here of your time, and much good luck the rest of the way.
Well, same, and to the Jets fans, I would tell them, you can turn it around, because the Chiefs were in your exact position in 2012.
And Jets,
they've never looked back, man. They've never looked back.
Well, Jets fans will say to you, we'll believe it when we see it. Anyway, thank you, Mitch, very much.
All right, brother. Thank you.
All right. Mitch Holdus, the radio voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Take a break for the update and, of course, get back to your calls. No, from the 1-877-337-6666. Number to call on your fair New York City.
Walgreens has always been there to help make your health care easier, from making sure you have the prescriptions you need to answering.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.